Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. While I am not what might be called a real sports nut, I did enjoy following the illustrious career of Pistol Pete Maravich. He was a great basketball player, a very shrewd businessman, and apparently a very decent fellow. It was with considerable sadness that I learned of his untimely death at the age of 40. I am sure that Pete was the hero of thousands of boys throughout the United States. He would certainly have been a better hero if a person is going to have a hero, and most of us have had and will have, than some of the entertainment figures which are so prominent today. Heroes have inspired some men and women to achieve beyond what they ever dreamed possible. But some heroes have also led others into sexual immorality, drug addiction, alcoholism, and other kinds of destructive behavior. It was these latter kind of heroes that Isaiah had in mind when he wrote of heroes at drinking wine. Please listen to Isaiah as he describes these men. "Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him." Isaiah 5, 22 and 23. Incidentally, this same prophet had much more to say about the evils of strong drink. "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them." Isaiah 5, 11. Later in the same book, this great statesman prophet severely criticizes God's people for their devotion to drinking. "But they have also erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment." Isaiah 28, 7. These three passages from Isaiah will serve as the basis for our lesson on heroes at drinking wine. I sincerely invite your undivided attention to this vital study. The expression, "heroes at drinking wine," comes from the Revised Standard Version's translation of Isaiah 5:22. That expression describes men who have devoted themselves to their drinking activities, like Pistol Pete committed himself to learning the intricacies of basketball and to demonstrating these so beautifully on the basketball court. The drinkers of Isaiah's day thought of practically nothing else and lived for their drinking. They became famous, or perhaps I should use the word infamous, because they were so adept at drinking beverage alcohol. Although I do not know how they sought to justify such total commitment to such an ungodly practice, I suspect that their justifications would sound very modern if we knew what those justifications were. Before we examine Isaiah's heroes at drinking wine, I want to read for our benefit, but not necessarily for our enjoyment, an article from the Firm Foundation, a gospel paper published in Austin, Texas. The article I will read to you has the title, "If We Are Old Enough to Drink, We Are Old Enough to Kill." This very distressing article was written by T. Pierce Brown about Sandra Campbell. Please listen carefully. She was happily riding her motor scooter home from school when a driver, without license because of a previous conviction, smashed into her, knocking her body about 30 feet into the air, crushing most of her bones and severing her spinal cord, paralyzing her from the chest down. No, she was not just a teenage kid out for a thrill, swerving her cycle in and out of traffic. She was a 50-year-old, mature woman whose story thrills and saddens. She was an abused child, physically and psychologically. Even her mother told her she was a no good, worthless, unwanted child who should never have been born. So she left high school at 15 as a sophomore to marry a poor preacher many years her senior. Over 30 years later, he died, and she still felt worthless and unloved. Then she met a teacher who taught her that God did not make trash. He taught her that Jesus did not die for a nobody, and that she was made in the image of God, with the privileges and obligations pertaining thereto. She accepted those facts, and, as always, that sort of belief changed her life. She began searching for other practical truths related to that concept. She discovered that the Bible has answers to why she was here, where she came from, and a hint of the heights to which she could climb. She began a study of the Koine Greek, the language in which the New Testament was written. That whetted her appetite, so she got her high school diploma. Her teacher challenged her to think in terms of climbing mountains instead of fussing with molehills. Although she had no money and scarcely any income, he helped her borrow enough money to go to college and buy a motor scooter that would run up to 25 miles an hour downhill. This little short, heavyset woman, with her hair done up on the top of her head in a top knot, but covered with a white helmet as she scooted to church 3 times a week and to school 5 times a week, became quite a celebrity around Tullahoma, Tennessee, and outlying towns. After studying 3 years of Greek in 2 years and graduating magna cum laude from Motlow Community College, she received a scholarship from David Lipscomb College in Nashville, where she intended to major in biblical languages and journalism or communication, and then, when she finished her doctorate, teach or do research in those areas. The week after she was graduated from Motlow, her dreams and her body were smashed by one who apparently believed, if a man is old enough to fight and to kill, he is old enough to drink. He apparently did not realize that anyone can make a stupid cliche about anything. If one is able to produce children, he should be allowed to be president. If we can put a man on the moon, we should be able to give all the poor people of the world $20,000 a year. The next week, her teacher friend held her hand in the hospital and said, "Sandra, you have climbed mountains before by doing what you can, where you are, with what you have. Now, God will enable you to climb another one by doing what you can't, where you are not, with what you do not have." Peter could not walk on water, but he did. Jesus on the cross did more for the world than any other person off the cross. So you may be able to do more to help and inspire mankind on this cross, or in a wheelchair as you learn and teach, than you could walking around on 2 good legs. She smiled and said, "With God to lead and you to hold my hand, I probably can." How she will pay her astronomical bills, how she will survive, how she will go back to school, she has no idea. But she actually laughed as she looked at her scarred and broken hand and said something like this, "A boxer has not lost the fight as long as he keeps fighting, has he?" As she visualized herself as a little heavyset woman with smashed legs dancing around in a boxing ring, knocking out her opponent, whoever it might be, she laughed. I cried. Do I have to spell out for you the sorrow, the frustration, even the anger that I feel each time I read an article such as this? My friend, some liquor manufacturer made that strong drink which crippled the body of that brave woman. Some dealer sold it to the young man or to one of his cohorts. Some mother and father may have set an example of excessive drinking. At least, that father and mother may have failed to show that young man the dangers of drinking and driving. Some television or radio station may have shown him how macho it is to drink, how ultra-sophisticated we are when we know how to handle our liquor. The ones who voted for the legalization of such a body-breaking, soul-destroying drug have to share some of the responsibility and some of the guilt of this tragic accident. I do not wish to be melodramatic, but neither do I want to let such irresponsible people off the hook without their knowing what they have done. And what about churches and preachers where these tragedies occur? And they occur almost everywhere. The truth is that many liberal preachers drink, and many liberal churches celebrate certain occasions with beverage alcohol. Do these preachers and churches have any guilt when they fail to condemn drinking and participate in such activities themselves? Are they trying to be heroes at drinking wine? I believe most of you would agree with me when I say we are better off without such heroes. Now let us return to the passages in Isaiah and learn what they teach us about drinking. First, Isaiah accused the drinkers of rising up early in the morning, following strong drink until night, until they were inflamed by wine. Personally, I have never had any immediate association with persons who have behaved in such a fashion. It is even hard for me to imagine anyone so totally enslaved to alcohol. But I know it happens, and I have observed at some distance the lives of men and women, boys and girls, who have been so affected by drinking. I am accustomed to men's and women's arising early in the morning to perform their work, whatever that work was, working hard through the day, visiting the sick when the need arose, reading and studying their Bibles. But the men of Israel arose early in the morning just to drink. They may have had other kinds of work which they did between drinking bouts, but their real occupation was drinking, and they were great at their work. They started early in the morning, kept at it religiously through the day, stayed with it until the night, and were thoroughly inflamed with wine. How tragic that men should squander their time, their talents, and their money on habits that not only destroy the drinker, but their families and other loved ones as well. All of us have known men and women who had great talent, bright minds, wonderful opportunities, but who wasted all of this on beverage alcohol. I am thinking now of a man I knew most of my adult life. He was quite well educated for a man of his community and his generation. He had the ability to make money, the opportunity to become an influential leader in the community and in the church. But he did not accomplish any of this. On one occasion, he even tried to kill his own son with a crowbar because he thought the son was trying to interfere with his drinking. He did not die penniless, but he was living from hand to mouth, as we say in Middle Tennessee. I grieve for such men and their families. Dr. John Baucom, the psychologist from Chattanooga, has just published an excellent new book, Help Your Children Say No to Drugs. Throughout this book, Dr. Baucom has brief excerpts from interviews he has conducted throughout the United States. He has this brief excerpt from Joe, age 22, in Mobile, Alabama. Please listen and weep for such as are caught up in the web of addiction. It goes like this: social drinking, nightly drinking, drinking to feel good, sneaking drinks, drinking to feel normal, breakfast drinking, constant drinking. It's a whirlwind. That's what it is. Page 63. In Isaiah 5, 22 through 23, the prophet affirms that Judah had some real heroes, some mighty men, but not in defending the nation of Israel, not in doing right. They were heroes at drinking wine. Did the Jews not know any better? They may not have known better, but they could and should have known better. After all, Solomon was one of Israel's great heroes, and he had spoken out very plainly on the evils of strong drink. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 20, verse 1. His classic description of an alcoholic ties in beautifully with Isaiah's words about the drinking heroes of Judah. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Proverbs 23:29-35. Isaiah gives two of the tragic outcomes of drinking, especially among those who are in positions of power. First, they justify the wicked for reward. Second, they take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. In this context, Isaiah must be talking about judges over the people of God. Please notice again the charges Isaiah makes against those judges. Their devotion to drinking leads them to justify the wicked for reward. Drinking so affects our judgment that we behave in ways when we are drinking that would be anathema to us if we were sober. All men act foolishly when they have drunk enough beverage alcohol. But how much more inexcusable when judges drink and pervert justice in so doing. The judges may have perverted justice because they were drunk, or they took bribes to get money for more strong drink. Whatever the case, and Isaiah does not tell us exactly what they did, their unfair decisions had some connection with strong drink. The judges also took away the righteousness of the righteous from him. The judges made the guilty to look innocent, and the innocent to look guilty. How discouraging for those who strive to obey the law of the land and the law of God. If you have ever been tempted to think that such abuse of judicial power is an exclusively modern phenomenon, please examine the many instances of abuse which are recorded in the Word of God. The wise man Solomon speaks about this same evil. He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 17:15. If you want to know how disgusted the Lord was with these drunken judges, please listen to Isaiah. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust. Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he hath stretched forth his hand against them, and hath smitten them, and the hills do tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from afar, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. None shall be weary nor stumble among them. None shall slumber nor sleep. Neither shall the girdle be loosed, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken, whose arrows are sharp, and all their bows bent. Their horses' hoofs shall be counted like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring shall be like a lion. They shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar, and lay hold of the prey, and shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. And in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one look unto the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof. Isaiah 5:24-30. If you have forgotten your Jewish history, let me refresh your memory very quickly. The prophet Isaiah predicts the coming of the Babylonians against the Jewish nation. As you can understand from this reading, the destruction of Judah was to be complete. The Babylonians could not fail in their march against Israel because God was using the Babylonians to discipline Israel. And why would God use a heathen nation like Babylon to visit such brutality on His own people? The mighty men of Israel, the heroes at drinking wine, have perverted justice and brought shame and disgrace on the name of Israel's God. What lesson would our Heavenly Father have us to learn from this Old Testament passage? Can America prosper when our local, state, and national leaders drink, endorse drinking, promote alcoholic beverages, take bribes, pervert justice because of their drinking of wine? It is a sobering thought, which I sincerely hope and pray you will keep in mind as you cast your vote in local, state, and national elections. Isaiah 28:7 indicts not only the judges in Israel, but also the priests and the prophets. But they have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. In the verses preceding verse 7, the prophet has shown how evil Samaria, that is, the 10 tribes in the north, had become. God wanted Judah to be an example of what His people could become. But instead, they acted like a bunch of drunks, which they were. My friends, this is not a very pretty picture which Isaiah has painted, but it is not totally unlike what we have witnessed among religious leaders in modern churches. Heavy drinking, sexual immorality, greed, and other sins run rampant in most religious groups. There is no point in our denying it. But we can do something about it. I challenge you to use your influence to make a difference in these matters. The Jews had gone astray through wine, and through strong drink they had gone out of the way. Most of us know, whether or not we are willing to admit it, that alcohol blurs men's judgment and causes them to behave in foolish and sinful ways. It is bad when that man who behaves foolishly is a common man, like most of us. It is far worse when he is a judge, a legislator, a president, a religious leader, or a school teacher. All of these occupations are positions of leadership. When those they are leading witness their drunken example, how do you expect their followers to act? Perhaps the greatest tragedy of all among the Jews was the fact that their spiritual leaders were no better than common drunks. Along with the judges in Israel, the priests and the prophets were addicted to alcohol. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. how desperately the people of God needed sober, dedicated leaders in their times of great distress, instead of having good, clear-headed leaders. They were afflicted with men whose major occupation was strong drink. No wonder God deemed it necessary to send the Babylonian army against Israel to carry her away into captivity. Prophets were supposed to have been in touch with Almighty God. They received their messages from God. They were God's mouthpieces. The prophets in Isaiah's day, but that did not include the great prophet himself, were so addicted to strong drink that they made grievous blunders in the messages they were supposed to have received from God. They had become so devoted to wine that they could not give the people, or did not give the people, the judgments which God wanted delivered. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. But is beverage alcohol really all that bad? Surely Isaiah is exaggerating for effect. My friends, alcohol is that bad, and he was not exaggerating for effect. If the people of Israel did not believe the prophet, they would soon learn that he was telling them the truth. Israel's exile can be traced to many causes, but certainly one of these was strong drink. Of course, the leaders were not the only drinkers in Judah, as I am sure you already know. But the leaders could have precipitated some much-needed changes in the nation if they had only been sober and if they had provided the leadership the people so desperately needed. Our nation is experiencing some of the problems which led to Israel's downfall. There is no point in going any further into these today, and we should not become discouraged just because these problems exist. With God's help, we can do something about it, but it is not likely we shall unless we have sober leaders and sober followers. The situation will get worse and worse until we make up our minds that we can make worthwhile changes. I know we can do it. I know God expects us to do it. My hope in presenting this lesson is that some of you, especially some young person, will think seriously before he begins to drink alcoholic beverages that will ruin his life. I also appeal to our leaders that they refrain from strong drink so that they will not make grievous errors in the leadership of the American people. Next Lord's Day, I plan to answer a question that I raised a moment ago. What can we do about it? Our lesson will be entitled, What Difference Can One Person Make? We invite you to listen at that time. Until then, may our Heavenly Father richly bless you.